No, it's just homeweight, isn't it?
What is that, a bomb or what? What?
you'll find out.
Recording.
Oh, I'm recording?
You're on Zoom.
Anything you say may and can be against you.
I can't say this is new to me. I've had this happen before. Well, as I said, it's the whole home week, isn't it? And gosh, it's so good to see everybody. I mean it. I want to share just a few things with you. Number one, I want to share the fact that this fellowship was so early in my walk with the Lord and went through a lot with me, especially when I lost my first wife. And I can remember some of the things Ella shared with home. And a lot of that sharing of all this fellowship and what Ella shared. Sometimes I didn't like what she said, but I accepted it. And the night Joe left me changed my life. I can tell you that honestly. It made a whole new person out of me. And it was necessary. I know I wouldn't have said that before, but it's the truth. Because that night I laid in my bath, and I had it out with the Lord. I really did. I'm not proud to admit it either. But I was mad. And that old Newfoundland dog, I'm laying on my back in the backyard crying and mad. She come and laid that big head on my chest. And she just looked at me. You know, they got a sad face anyway, you know. And it was just like she understood what I was going through, you know. And all of a sudden, I was really, how mad I was. Murder comes to your mind of the person that took your wife. But I knew, you know, that was ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, the Lord literally appeared to me and showed me every sin that I committed. And that's not a great trip when you really think about it. He told me how much he loved me and how much he forgave me for that. And he said, if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. And that changed my whole life. Changed my whole attitude on everybody I've ever encountered. It was necessary. And I'll never forget when Kelly was murdered. Dave got up. If you don't know, Dave's the husband of Joe right now. They've been married for 35 years or something. We got all done with, I was sitting in the car and he came up to me and he said, Tom, I just got to tell you how much I love you. Now here's the guy that took my wife from me, telling me how much he loved me. And I looked at him and I said, Dave, I love you too. And I said, I never thought I'd say this. And I do. I love him. What's happened to my family in the last 30 years has been amazing. I can't say that a lot of the things that are happening in the average family, I think, would probably be crazy. Well, we're crazy to begin with. I know that. But right now, I remember when I was talking to at Kay Kling's funeral, and I had no idea I was going to get remarried. I didn't even want to. But the Lord brought Tina into my life. And he told me that he was going to reward me if I followed him. And I'll tell you, that's quite a reward. And I'm not saying that because her brother's sitting here. But I'm telling you, I don't think I could love anybody more than I love her, other than the Lord. The Lord has blessed me so abundantly with her. I can't say there's been a day that we haven't had a joyful day. I mean that, even in the hardest times. She's such a sweet spirit. She's always happy. Do you know what it's like to be married to a woman that sings all the time?
Yeah. I would have married her.
But it's a joy. I mean, it really is. And we very seldom, you know, we got into one of those typical little husband and wife stupid spats, you know. They were nothing serious. And I finally looked at her after a few minutes, I looked at her and said, listen, we got to get one thing straight. You're never right and I'm always wrong. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, that's right. She says, no, you want to admit it now? And I said, yeah, I admit it. But, you know, there's so many passages that come to mind in the Bible. I remember the one thing that Sig used to preach about, the little three-letter words in the Bible are so important. And I think the one thing that always struck me about Sig, he was such a sweet spirit, but he was a stubborn German. There's no doubt about that. And I love that about him, because I remember when he came over and helped me build that. He didn't help me. I helped him. He built that extra room in our house. I saw the tenacity of a German working. And little did I know that room was for Steve. And that room turned into a pot room for him. I remember when I got home from work, a long trip, and I smelled pot in that room. And I walked inside and caught him. I said, if I catch you in here one more time in this room smoking pot, I'm going to call the police. Oh, yeah, Dad, okay. They apologized. About a month later, I drove in. They're in there. So I called the police. They came, and I had them taken away. He didn't talk to me for 4 months. And when he got up to graduate, he grabbed a hold of that diploma and he says, Dad, thank you. I love you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Boy, if that don't teach you a lesson about your kids. And, you know, when you tell them you're going to do something, make sure you do it. You know, and I fought that too. I really did. I'm afraid of doing something with this. Is there some place I can put this where I... There came a time in our life when Tina and I got married that she did want to go someplace different. And, you know, I didn't want her to be uncomfortable. I think that's probably the main reason we ended up going to a different church. But the Lord brought us there. I know that. Once I made the decision to... And the journey we've been on since we've been married has been really bombastic, I guess is the word for it, and blessed. When we ended up at Calvary 21 years ago, I was in Arizona, and I came back from a trip, but I had to come back on Monday. She said, there's a pastor there that, she said, I think you're going to get along with him. And so the second Sunday I went there, and that was when we were at the little A-frame church on Skyline Drive. Remember that little A-frame? A lot of us remember the old days of the Hallelujah Singers, when that was at that church and everything. Well, that's where Calvary started. And the minute I met Rob, I said, you and me are friends, and I said, we're going to be friends as long as you're here. And he's been my best friend for the last 21 years. and it's been a real blessing. He's a true man of God. And, I was his campaign manager. I've always been involved in politics because I believe that we need to be involved in politics. If more people were involved in it, we wouldn't be in the situation we are today, especially the Christians. When you think about how many Christians in this country there are, only 50% of them vote. That's amazing. And in this last election, that's increased by about 6% of the Christians that vote. There's evangelical Christians and supposedly Catholic Christians and so on and so forth. But this evangelicals alone could turn this whole nation. And we don't really. And to get the people out to vote is the most important thing. And God has a way of awakening a nation. And I think we've got to go through. I think the nation's going through what I went through when my first wife left me, to be honest with you. I really do. I think what's happening is we're seeing all these, especially the older people that were here. I was here when the Second World War ended. And I can remember the camaraderie and the happiness and factory whistles going off. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, it brought this nation together. And something's going to happen to this nation where we're going to be brought together. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm sure it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm prepared for that. It's prepared as before us in the Bible. We know that. It talks about it. So we shouldn't be shocked, yet it's still, there's some days I'm thinking, oh, gosh, it's happening now, you know. That all to Jesus we serve. Remember that song? I used to love that. In the passage where it says, I had it marked up here. It was Romans, I think. Thanks, Tricia. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So it really tells me that God don't make mistakes. We make them, yes, but he has his way of straightening them out for us when we do, especially if we acknowledge that we should have confirmed what talk to him first and got guidance from him. It happens every day. I mean, we're all guilty of it. I know that. We were sitting one day talking, and I made some smart aleck remark like I always do, and Tina said, well, would you say that if Jesus was sitting here? And I said, no. She said, well, you idiot, he is sitting here in the Holy Spirit. That's Tina. And it's so true. You know, I was just talking the other day to somebody on the phone, an old friend of mine from Michigan. And I said, you know, when I think of what's going on in my family, I said, I could cry. I could say, why me, Lord? But all the things that are happening in my family, and we're all going through things in our family, I know. But let me give you a list of things. I've got 4 kids. I've got 10 grandkids. I include Tina's kids in this, too, because actually with Heather and Hunter, their grandpas don't even talk to them, so I'm their grandpa. And I love those 2 girls dearly. And I got Mike and and Pat, his sons, and but I got great grandchildren. But I lost one of my grandsons. We all know that Casey was murdered, who belonged to the Midtown gang in Ventura. He called me and he told me, "Grandpa," he said, "I got to get out of the gang." He says, "I know that it's the wrong thing," and you had lunch with me the other day, and he was so high that day I had lunch with him, I couldn't even talk to him. He was on something, probably nose candy, I don't know. But what I said to him sunk in, I think. And he called and he said, "I got to get out of the gang. I'm going to go to Teen Challenge in Bakersfield." And I happened to know the guy that ran Teen Challenge in Bakersfield. So Kelly went there, and he spent over a year there. He came back, and then just before his 21st birthday, they set him up. And the two guys from the gang, the Midtown gang in Ventura, which he belonged to, set him up and shot him twice in the back and twice in the chest. Funny thing, not funny. The great thing is, Dave Johnson, the pastor that I know that was a core pastor at Calvary Chapel, his son and his two friends were in their house and they were going to seminary there to become pastors. I got the call from Steve at 5 in the morning and told me about Kelly being killed. So I called Rob about, 8 o'clock. And I told him about the story, and he says, "Tom, you ain't going to believe it." He said, "Kelly died in Dave Johnson's son's arms." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, I just got off the phone with him, Dave, and he was real shook up. And he said, "This young kid died in his arms." And he asked him if he knew the Lord, and the kid said, "Yes, I do." Dave was a felon, became a pastor, and he was called into court to be a witness because he witnessed the two guys running away. When he got on the stand, they made him out to be the criminal, not the two guys that killed Kelly. That's how the judicial system is sometimes. So you see, I see all the glory in these things, and it was so great to see even Steve, my son, sees the glory in it. And then just a few, I can't remember the time frame, less than a year ago, Delilah, my great-granddaughter, was the one that was so afraid of this pandemic. And she was bipolar, and she was on pills. And one of her friends told her that if she took more of these pills, it would make her more relaxed because she was afraid of getting this COVID. And you know, right now, we're going through a fact. I mean, you just listen to the people talk about this. It's on television, no matter where you go. We've got these little, sweet, innocent kids that are listening to all this garbage. And then the parents are talking about it. I said that about the poop in the store the other day. Told her kids to put the mask on or you're going to die. Well, she was so afraid of it, she overdosed on these pills. And she overdosed so bad and counteracted with some other pills she was taking that she died from it, and she was 12 years old. So, you know, when you think that you're going to be immune from all of these things, you're not going to be. It's going to happen. And the greatest feeling that I have is to know that every one of my kids know the Lord. Every one of my grandkids know the Lord. And the great-grandkids, well, I've accepted the fact that they're going to know the Lord. And what more joy can a father have than that? To know that. And even though, when I think of it, Steve's got prostate cancer. He's got to have his prostate removed in October. John's had lymphoma cancer. It's in remission right now. Scott's got heart and emphysema and not emphysema.
COPD.
asthma. Bad heart and asthma. And Colleen is very obese, and she's going through the surgery, you know. And so when you look at, you know, everybody will say, well, why don't you just give up on God? I've had people tell me that. And I said, listen, I said, I can't give up on God. I said, I'm like Job. I said, and in reality, we're all like Job. The Lord, what did the Lord tell the devil about Job? He let the devil do to whatever he did to Job, but don't take his life. Remember that? And I think of that all the time. You know, it's a test. We know the Lord's testing us. And there's times we fail the test once in a while. I know that. We're not perfect. I remember Kay when I went and visited her. Kay and Ernie were big instrumental in my life, as was he. I don't know if I told the story about about Fritz when he was with the Hallelujah Singers. Actually, Fritz led me to the Lord, and he didn't know it. It was so funny, you know. It was during the charismatic movement. And it was, everything was just, you know, bursting out, you know. Everybody wanted to praise the Lord the whole bit. And I was going along with it, and, you know, I knew I loved the Lord. But we were at the Hallelujah Singers, and he was sharing with somebody on the other side of a tree. And I heard him sharing with him. And I sort of sat there smoking my cigarette. And all of a sudden it hit me. And he started praying with this guy. And while he was praying, I was praying the same prayer. And that night I asked the Lord into my life, and he never knew it until a few years later. And little did I know at that time, this guy was going to be my brother-in-law. I mean, it's so mind-boggling sometimes. Even I sit back and I wonder, you know, how all this took place. But when I went to visit Kay, you know, She was a feisty Irishman. She was a feisty Irishman. And she told me that, you know, she'd know the things I was going through and everything else. And she said, well, she says, you know, she says, Tina's gone through a lot too. She says, you ought to get to know her. Well, I had already known Tina a little bit from when her and Nick would come. They'd mowed some lawns for some papers across the street. So I was, you know, I knew she was Fritz's sister. I'd met her a couple of times, and I thought, oh, she's a pretty lady, you know, and all that. But that was it. But it was at the funeral that, well, I saw her in the store probably about 2 months before that. And I wasn't even thinking of dating or anything. I had everybody trying to get me a mate, you know. When you're single, you guys don't know this, but especially when you're single at middle age, you know, everybody in the world's got somebody that they belong with, and they keep throwing them at you. And I dated very seldom. So we were talking at the store in Albertsons, and I said, well, would you like to go out to dinner sometime? She says, well, yeah, you know. I said, okay. Well, at the funeral, or the wake, we were talking again, and I said, well, would you like to go to dinner sometime? She says, well, you going to follow through? She didn't follow through the first time you asked me. I said, oh, yeah, I'll follow through. So then I called Fritz, remember, the next day or so, and wanted her number. That started it, you know. And the funny thing is, we hit it off so well, you know, and I couldn't believe it. I still had to pinch myself every once in a while. And so when I finally proposed to her, she had fallen asleep. We went and visited some friends of mine. Vernon Sue Parton, Dolly Parton's brother. I was good friends of his. He was a big producer that I worked with. And they said that night, they said, you two are made for each other. So Tina fell asleep in the car because it was in Yucaipa, so it was a long drive home. So she fell asleep, and I pulled in front of the parking lot in front of the school just down from her house. And she woke up and she's, what are we doing here? And I said, well, you know, I said, I didn't want, because when we went home, the boys were always out there, you know, wondering what was going on. And I said, well, the Lord's, I've been talking and praying. I said, the Lord's told me to ask you to marry me. She laughed in my face. I think I shocked her so much. Of course, Tina's laughing all the time anyway. So so anyway, she told me the next day yes, you know, which was the greatest thing in the world that could have ever happened to me. And it always brought back to the fact, because Ella and Sig were so large in my life at a time when I really needed a friend. And this whole fellowship was. I remember well the things that the whole fellowship went through with me. You don't realize how much comfort that was to me. And I think that brings me to the point of what I'm trying to make. When we decided I wanted to go with Tina to make sure that she was comfortable in the church, so we started going to churches. And now when we settled at Calvary Chapel, it was the other couple of churches we stayed with too. We've been married 30 years. Isn't that hard to believe, 30 years? It makes me realize, though, how hungry people are for fellowship. How hungry people are to be with people that love the Lord. And when we started going to Calvary, there were 400 people at that church, which, I mean, you know, it's still a big thing for us. Since this pandemic has come, our church has grown from 400 to 3,000. Now, if you know where we are up on Dos Vientos, we some rich millionaire Christian man said, met Rob at the Republican convention, and he said, you need a bigger church and I'm going to buy it for you. He bought that whole YMCA, but then he also he's going to buy that whole complex there where the stores are and everything. The growth in that is so astronomical in 1 year's time. It's hard to keep up with it, but the Lord's always provided, you know. But it shows me when I see these people coming in, they're waiting in line. We've turned them away. Then they have to go in their car and listen to it. That's how hungry people are for fellowship. And, you know, and we've encouraged them. You know, start fellowships in your neighborhood, you know. There's many people doing that. I brought that up this morning. You can't believe the amount of people that I've met at our church. And I'm usually in the back greeting, you know. And they're telling me how, you know, well, it's getting crowded here, so we're going to start something in our garage. And I mean, it's wonderful when you see that's taking place. And we know, and Rob has told them, when this thing gets over, go back and support your church. If they're preaching the things that are really of the Lord and you're going to have a growth spiritually, then go to that church. You know, we're going to assume a lot of them. And there's no doubt about it. We're going to lose a lot. And we're so... Am I busting it up? But it's such a joy to see people really are hungry for fellowship. Just to get and praise the Lord. And I see it every week. It's amazing. And now we've got people at home. One of the great things about technology is you are able to participate in your church if you can't make it, if you're sick. You know, I can see what's going on today. I don't have to worry about not being there. I already told Rob I wouldn't be there. Not that he cares or counts, you know, but told him what I was going to do. And he met somebody in here. He said, I can't remember who he said he met that goes here. Anyway, he sent his love. I've always been here in spirit. You don't leave. You're working in a different area. And when the Lord takes you out of some place, you can fight it, but don't fight it because it doesn't work. The best thing to do is, what's that old saying, you bloom where you're planted. And it's been so much fun blooming. And the people that I've met, the souls that that I've become so close to. And that's one thing. When I don't care whether there's 30 people, 3 people, or 300, or 3,000. If the Holy Spirit's there, it's amazing how you still feel like you're with a group of people that love the Lord. And that always blows my mind. When I've seen the church so packed, and yet there's so much love in there. And you can sense it. You know it. Because they're all want to hear the word of the Lord. But most of all, I think they want fellowship with fellow believers. Because the out there is rough. We know it. And it really gives you a base for the oncoming week. And I don't care if you're retired or if you're out there in the world every day selling dead chickens or selling houses. Or, you know, you need that base. And the friends you make are just, they're everlasting. They're forever. And that's one of the greatest feelings in the world, when you meet so many people and you realize that we're all brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters. So I've got to be very careful about it, but active. But even with our own families, the things that are taking place, and the Word of God has been, I love that passage and I use it so much. But the other one I use is Hebrews 12, about how God chastises his children. And I've used that verse so many times with different people. I had a guy ask me about a month ago that I was an old AA member. He says, I've been in AA for six years. He says, will you be my sponsor? I said, what happened to the sponsor you had? He said, well, he moved. I said, I'll be your sponsor, but I said, I'm not going to go to meetings with you. He said, why? I said, you know you're an alcoholic. I said, turn it over to the Lord. You know the Lord. I asked him into my life. He said, 10 years ago. I said, so you fell off the wagon, right? You've been drunk. You were drunk and then you decided to join AA. I said, it's a great stepping stone. You know, it is. It's a great step to go in there to realize that you need somebody more powerful than you to quit drinking. But I said, there's more to AA than that. I said, that's just a little baby step to the big step. It's a step into a fellowship where there's Christians and people that will love you. He's never been to a meeting since then. You know, now he calls me a lot, don't get me wrong. But yet, you know what? It's like when I called Ella when I was having trouble. You know, and you got to remember that. You know, the people that help you get through it, you can help them. I don't care. You don't have to be a drunk or an ex-drunk to know that. And when I was drinking, I hadn't achieved that fame of being a down-out drunk. Somebody caught me early in my drinking career and got me involved in AA, and then I realized, you know, I had to quit. But there's many out there now. And, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction has gone up and up and up. And we know why. You know, the pressures that are out there right now, it's unbelievable. And if you know, it's driving us into the Lord. And isn't that great? So, I mean, how can you not be happy? Even through all this, you know, I've been blessed. I'll never forget my mother. She was a crazy Irish lady. When I was 16, I was fully grown. I had a size 15 or 6'4". And back in Michigan, a size 15 was not unusual because a lot of Hollanders are back there, and Hollanders are big men, you know. But even at that, my shoes cost $2 extra a pair. Now, I'm going to tell this as nicely as I can. This is cleaning it up for Tom. So I was playing, when I went from Catholic school to high school in Middleville, Michigan, we'd moved. And I went to school, to a Protestant school. The minute I got there, the coach looked at me and said, that's a small school, you know. There were 50 in our graduating class, and I think I graduated 48. Maybe 52nd. I don't know. He said, you're going to play football or basketball? I said, no, I don't want to. He says, no, you're going to play. He said, you ain't in a Catholic school anymore, but he says, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to play sports. He says, give me 2 weeks with you on the basketball court, and if you don't like it, then you don't have to play. I said, okay. Well, first week, I went up and I said, I love this sport. So he said, good. He said, well, you got to get some shoes. He said, you can't play in those shoes. I said, okay. So Mom takes me to Grand Rapids to get the shoes. Get the tennis shoes, tennis shoes and football shoes. Cost her $4 more. She's crying like crazy. Oh, what terrible to have those feet. Oh, going on and on and on. And I said, Mom, I'm sorry my feet are so big. But my dear, sweet Irish mother says this to me. She says, that's okay, darling. Just remember this. A big outhouse needs a big foundation. But she didn't say out. She used the S word. That right there will knock you down to a peg where you realize if your mother thinks you're an outhouse, you can't do anything but go up, you know? So, when I see what's going on in the world today with the kids, and I see that what's going on with schools, Tina taught school for 20 years at the Canadian Valley School District. And I'm going to tell you something. It's so hard for her. She's so thankful she doesn't have to teach. But I said, you know what? I said, I wish you were teaching because they need beautiful Christian people in their schools. Because what's happened to our school system is absolutely appalling. We went to the last school board. There are things that are in those books that I wouldn't repeat in mixed company that they're teaching these kids today. And I mean, I'm shocked at the things that they're saying that they need to teach our children, that we should be teaching. We're in an area now where at the end times, and I know that's a term everybody uses, but we are at the end. I'm at my end times. I know that pretty quick, you know. I'm 83. But when I see all that's taking place, people are so paranoid now. It's driving them into the Lord. Because when they can see a Christian that is really has the peace of the Lord, but is willing to stand and fight for righteousness. And it is a fight. There's no doubt about it. You know, we're going to be ostracized. We got to expect it. I know that for a fact. We're going to be mocked. And all we got to do is look in that beautiful book. And it's telling us we're going to go through the same thing they went through there. It's prepared us for it. And yet when it starts happening, we're thinking, well, Lord, can't you just hold back a little bit, you know? This is coming a little too fast for me. But it's really not. Because we have it within us, the Holy Spirit, that I just can't tell you the peace I have. I really do. Now, I do get upset when I see things that are happening when I see that sweet little girl walking there, the things she's going to be subjected to if she goes to a public school. We never had to worry about that before. Jody, didn't you? You were a teacher, weren't you?
No.
I thought you taught. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, she homeschooled.
Homeschooled?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, that's a better teacher. That's what Tina said. She said, I wouldn't advise anybody to do anything but home their kids. And it's happening. So I didn't read the verses that I was going to read. I just wanted to, I guess, share what's going on in my life and let you know that the basic things that I learned in this fellowship last forever because it's the Holy Spirit that drives us. And I can still remember that night I'd lost my job. That was before I went to work for Foster Farms. And we were at the Langlois house. And Sig was there for the first time. And he started preaching, talking about his life. And all of a sudden he looked over at me and he said, "I don't know what's going on with you, but," he said, "you trust the Lord." He says, "he's allowed this to happen for a reason." I didn't talk to him or anything. But he saw that the Spirit told him that I was going at that time, you know. And as it was, that's when I ended up getting the association with Foster Farms, which was, and still is, owned by Christian people, which was a great ride for 30 years, you know. And I made so many, they knew, all my customers knew my stand on Christ, and all the way up to Atascadero. And the people that own Vons, some of the people that I've met, Ken Olson and guys like that, knew the Lord, and it was such a great association. And so the Lord brings you into areas where at the time you're wondering, you know, why did you bring me here, Lord? But he always has a way of showing you, this is why you're here, and follow me and trust me and share me. And it never fails, never fails. So if I walked out of here right now and dropped dead, you know, see, I believe in one thing. There's a saying I always repeat. When I die, I want to die in my sleep like my grandpa did. Not screaming and hollering like the passengers in the back seat of his car. So, and I really believe that's the way we all want to go, right? We don't lay there suffering with tubes in us and everything else. Pull the plug and let me go. But the one great thing that I can always have satisfaction in is that all of my kids know the Lord. All my grandkids know the Lord. And I secured the other greats and great grandkids coming down the pike. You know? Because if the roots are pretty solid, then the growth is going to be there. Especially when you have trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit. I have one granddaughter that called me, and this is John's daughter. I want you to keep her in prayer. I love this girl with all my heart. And I know John, it's his only child. And she openly came out and said if she was gay, she has a girlfriend. So I talked to her on the phone. I think it was about, maybe not quite a year ago. She says, "Grandpa, you're not going to talk to me anymore, are you?" I said, "Why ain't I going to talk to you?" "Well," she says, "you know, I have a girlfriend." She says, "I'm gay." I said, "Rachel, I love you. You're my granddaughter. So I'll always love you. I may not always agree with what your decisions are. But," I said, "you know what?" I says, "I've shared the Lord with you. And you know what the Lord wants." I said, "I'm not going to preach you anymore." I said, "I want you to just, you turn this whole thing over to the Lord." And I said, "Sure, in your mind, you'll probably mentally adjust to it and say, it's all right." But I said, "the Lord's not going to let you get away with that." So I said, "Rachel, I always love you. Never will I stop loving you. But," I said, "I'll never be afraid to tell you what I think either." And I just dropped it at that. What else can you do? What else can you do but pray for her? Pray for John. I know it broke his heart, you know. But he loved much. It's his only daughter. And I know it's hard on him. But it's always hard on us when we have kids that go this way or that way. And I mean, Colleen taking such a, she still loves the Lord, but there's just some things in her mind that are just, you know, bitterness from having a husband that was cheating on her all those years, you know, with another man. That's tough. That's tough cookies, you know. Yet, you know, as I talk to her, now of course now she knows that I'm a pretty much conservative Republican, and she's back in Minnesota, and you think that, you know, she'd be safe back there because all the wackos are out here, but trust me, there's plenty of wackos in Minnesota too. And that evil of communism, and I keep thinking about that. I keep thinking about Sig. And I remember early in his testimony talking about what he went through right after the Second World War. That testimony is I've thought of that so many times. You know, and he sees what he saw what communist was. He lived with it. I had a guy living with me, Joe, his name was from Czechoslovakia. And every night he would sit at that TV and he'd eat his dinner and he'd be screaming at the TV. You know, whoever was president and all that, he'd be screaming at him. Finally, I had it. I said, Joe, for corn's sakes, I said, if you hate this country so much, why don't you go back to Czechoslovakia? Oh, I love this country. I said, then why do you sit in front of the TV and complain about it all the time? He said, because I can. And I said, oh, yeah. He says, if I did that in Czechoslovakia, I'd be in prison. You know something? That changed my whole attitude towards him. I said, go ahead. Have at it. We're so blessed. But you can see they're slowly trying to away from us. And it's rapidly taking place right now. They're trying to silence us. See this right here? Because Rob started talking about certain issues, they pulled him off
YouTube, Facebook.
No, he's on Rumble. Now we're on Rumble now, but
Twitter.
What's the other one?
Well, it's Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah, and the other ones pulled him off because he started getting political. So, you know, and then during the church, you know, there are certain things in the church they don't want on there, so they pull them off. We're living in those times right now. And yet, God gives you such a happy heart knowing full well that what are they going to threaten us with? Eternal life. Rob said that the other day that when Mike Huckabee and Bob, God, I love Bob a lot. I'm having a senior moment. And they were talking about the pastors and all that are all starting to take stands against some of the issues that are, you know, trying to take away our religious freedom and so on and so forth. He said, what are they going to threaten us with? Eternal life. He said, what have we got to lose? And that's so true. I don't have too much more to share. There was a lot of things, but I just want you to know that the growth of the Lord isn't just happening here, and you know that. And it's so great to be out and see all the growth that's taking place in this country. And God only knows what it's going to take to get the rest of the country to come in. And we know there's going to be some of those that are going to be lost. There's no doubt about it. But how many, when I see the people that are flooding for fellowship now, it really is, it's amazing. You know, and they're getting bolder. And that's got to be the strength of the Lord. So, I don't have much more to say except I love all you people. And gee, it's so good to see all of you.
And I guess I'm coming back.
You're coming back a couple more times.
And I'll bring back my sweet bride. And then, of course, she'll tell me about every five sentences. Now, you've got to say this. Yes.
Thanks, Tom.
So I don't know if anybody wants to ask me a question or something. Right?
Thank you for coming.
Oh, by the way, you weren't in the work on Friday, were you?
No.
Yeah, because we went and saw Jigger.
Yeah.
You know, what's an awful name for a doctor? Jigger.
But he's great. He's my doctor.
He's my doctor, too, and I love the guy. Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good doctor.
I agree.
Well, I'll tell you something. I want to share this real quick. I counted on my hands 10 times I absolutely should have been dead. I mean, God pulled me through. I know that for a fact. When I had my stroke, I can't remember when it was. Who cares? I'm old. But what was it, about 8 years ago, I guess? 8 or 9 years ago? The whole left side was completely gone. I'm on blood thinner because that's not supposed to happen. So when I got in the hospital, they started doing some work on me and everything else. Second day, Rob came to visit me. And we prayed. And I still couldn't move my left arm and leg. And I couldn't talk too well, which was a blessing to some people. And the third day, when I woke up, everything was back. And the doctor came and told me, it was Abshar then. Abshar told me, he said, 95% of the guys that have your stroke die. And he said, almost 100% of them, if they do survive, never regain their body. He says, I don't know what happened, but he said, to me it looks like a miracle. I said, it is a miracle. So when I stabbed myself, accidentally, I was muscle boning a chuck when I was working at B&D Market, and I slipped the bone of the knife. And I drove it 5 inches in my leg, severed the femoral artery going to my heart. They dragged me out on the dock and called the fire department, which was on our bolus, you know. So I get there, the produce man comes out and sees me sitting there bleeding to death. He faints. And I'm sitting there finding my pressure point. Thank God I knew that. They come there and start working on him. And I said, he just fainted. I'm bleeding to death here. So they repair me up, you know. And so, I mean, when you stop and think of the various times, and when I sat there and I was having a good cry with Kelly when he died. But I got to think, 10 times I should have been dead. And here this young man, why did you take him? Nobody wants to outlive their grandkids or their kids. Yet it's happening. I could very well outlive my kids with what's going on in their lives. So I know the Lord wants me to do something while I'm here. I don't care if I can't walk. You can pray, if nothing else. And that's where the relief comes, I think. That's where I know I've got a bizarre sense of humor. But it's got me through so much. I think God has to be up there laughing a lot. I mean, he created laughter. He created joy. I enjoy every day of this life. I really do. There's days I don't want to get out of bed. But yet I do, because there's a joy about it. I look forward to meeting new people all the time. I love meeting. I always have. there's so many people out there that still need to know, hear the word of the Lord and get the love of the Lord, because there's not enough of that going around. So, anyway, I didn't mean to bloviate, but there's just so much I'd like to catch up on everybody here too, but whatever. I don't know what the program is from here on.
We're going to sing
next. Huh?
We're going to sing.
You want to sing?
We're going to sing.
Rejoice.
Oh, okay.
You can just come back here.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Or sit down.
I'll sit around you.
Yeah, you can stay there if you want.
She'll sit on that side.
Yeah.
No, I'm not musically inclined. I just got a big cord in my neck, that's all.
Thank you, Tom.
You can make a joy from that. Oh, I didn't realize that
I was being taped. EGD.
Okay, I won't edit.
I didn't move. That's chair form, but sort of goes back.
Oh, sorry.